Ah, não. Marco. He hasn't come on yet.
Good evening.
Hello,
Good
good
evening.
evening.
I take it you survived the rain.
Yes, sir.
We did. Really hadn't had any. Just little tiny sprinkles.
Well,
The All
that's
Night Shavuot prayer worked.
Always does. So yeah,
I'm not bragging. It was the Tikkuni Zohar that came to the rescue and some other things that we've learned in class. So, very appreciative.
So, our class today is, I'm trying to remember, do we start on section 2B or are we on section 3?
Well, last week Brandy was here, and I have stopped here. So I have that we're on chapter 29, section 3, other matters.
Right. That's what I wasn't sure.
Okay. I have no notes whatsoever, and I don't remember reading. You know, I don't remember this lesson. So it'd be interesting. Maybe I was out that time.
So you have notes on section 2B, though, the one above that, correct?
Yes, that's what we finished last week, and Brandy was here, so I printed her a copy, and we didn't quite, it was, it was about Abel's reincarnations. Yes, it was
right.
29, section 2B. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we will do Other Matters, Chapter 29, Section 3. You'll find it on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, the second column from the left. That's the landing page for Advanced Reincarnation. Roll down to Class 29, and this is Class 29E, as in Edward. And we'll start with the Lishang. L'shem yichud kudshah barichu ishkinte bithilu urkimu utilu utilu urkimu le'achda l'shem yodhe bavalte v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'ayinu amadunai Elohinu alenu ma'asei yadenu kalunei alenu ma'asei yadenu kalunehu. Shmuel said, I found other scattered but congruent writings from discussions regarding Adam. I decided to include them here, even though they lack relevance to this particular discussion. Shmuel is the son of Rabbi Chaim Vital. And he assisted his father in organizing his notes from the teachings of the Ari after the Ari passed away. And that's what we are actually reading, an English translation of those writings by Rabbi Chaim Vital. And he was assisted by his son Shmuel. Continuing to read. It is said that before the sin of Adam, he incorporated the four worlds of Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, and all five levels of each world, the Yechida, Yechaya, Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. When he sinned, some of them were removed and returned to their holy places. They are level one. This is referring to souls. Go ahead.
I'm wondering, is it because those that were removed, did that mean they did not want to participate in the sin? They did not want, you know? So they were removed, in other words, their consciousness?
That is the normal way of understanding it, that there were soul parts that left the soul of Adam and returned to higher levels of consciousness, meaning Zerantin or Bina or Hakma. The question that then has to be asked, if they knew that Adam was going to sin, why didn't the other parts of his body or the other parts of his soul also know that they were going to sin? And the answer is because these were in parts of the body that it wasn't part of their tikkun to participate in the sin. So they were given the information that the sin was going to happen and they left. Whereas the soul parts that participated in the sin, this is part of their tikkun. And whenever the tikkun, a situation arises where someone's tikkun is involved, the fact that it is part of their tikkun is hidden or concealed from them. Just as Jacob didn't know that Joseph was alive, if he was connected to the Shekhinah, she should have told him that. But the essence was he was connected to the Shekhinah, although the teachings are that he wasn't because he was so upset and so in mourning for 22 years. But even so, he made decisions about his farming, about his children. So he was connected to the Shekhinah at some level. But because it was part of his tikkun that Joseph be concealed from him, she never told him that he was alive. And this is a spiritual law, that the question you're asking is a good one that has to be understood. And that's what I was starting to explain, that we are talking about these soul parts meaning the parts of the body, parts of the soul, that did not have as their tikkun to participate in the sin. So when we think about the sin, and we're thinking about it metaphorically, it was eating fruit from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. So you had to walk up to the tree to pick the fruit. You had a hand that had to pick the fruit. The mouth and the teeth were involved in the chewing of the fruit. The stomach and the digestive system was involved. Now, it's a metaphor that we're talking about because Adam didn't have a digestive system until after the sin. He received his energy through his translucent skin, through the light, direct light of the sunlight. But be that as it may, it's trying to explain these different stories, midrashim and words of the Torah directly, that we need to understand tikkun on a complete level, a complete way. So I hope I'm not confusing you with this subject, but it's a subject that Shmuel is bringing at this point, and as he says, it's not particularly relevant to Abel or to Cain, but it's relevant to our understanding of tikkunim and our understanding of what is the sin.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. It's an excellent question.
Well, I'm surprised I ask it so early. I usually have to ponder a while.
Well, it's helpful.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions about it? Okay. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I was just going to say you answered my question before I asked it. I was like, whose tikkun was it? Because we're talking about the creation of man, and there was no other creation except there were angels, you know, prior to that. So you're talking about the consciousness parts of the body that took place, that partook of the sin, like you said, the hand, the mouth, you know, the desire, the lust for.
I would like to offer you a different perception of creation.
Okay.
We are talking about the creation of man, because Adam being the first man, we are taught included all of the souls and the potential souls that were in the endless world that relate to mankind. And then you said that the only other creations were that of the angels.
Well, not the only creations. Yeah.
The Zohar expresses that when asked what was Hashem doing before the creation of man, the answer is he was creating worlds and destroying worlds. The implication of that is that Hashem made mistakes. Why would he destroy a world unless it no longer served a purpose? And that would seem to think that there might have been a mistake in what Hashem did. Now, if Hashem is capable of making a mistake, our whole understanding of what and who and any other word that applies to Hashem does not make sense, because Hashem is everything and nothing. So the understanding that I have arrived at from my own contemplation, my own insights, so take it with a grain of salt and evaluate it for yourself. Hashem created species of angels, and they lived on physical worlds. And those worlds were created earlier. They were created on a spiritual level and then ultimately to a physical level. So the angels that we consider, that we call angels, that we can think of as being spiritual, also have physical essences, that they live in different parts of our universe or in other dimensions or other universes. And the purpose of the destructions of the worlds was that those worlds were no longer necessary for the completion of the plan of creation, which includes much more than mankind. That's my opinion. But it's the purpose of mankind is to grow into all of those thoughts that we cannot even conceive of. That's the plan of creation, those elements of the plan of creation that we are not yet ready to perceive. That's my understanding of it. And when you speak of the angels being just only spiritual, and I'm not saying that that's what you said, but I wanted to put out there the possibility that angels do also have physical forms. So have I confused the issue for you, Malka?
No. No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
So I'm continuing to read that same paragraph, the last sentence, it says they are level one. And that's when I was starting to discuss when Hannah asked her question. Level one is a way of identifying levels of soul. When we say soul in English, it's one word, and it's encompassing many different levels, whereas in Hebrew, we have five words, and we just read them, which is Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. But level one is souls that left Adam. They are referred to as new souls. Now, in modern day New Age teachings, the word new soul and old soul has a totally different meaning. Level one are called old souls. This is the words of the Kabbalah. But the level one is really new souls, and I don't mean to be confusing, but level one represents souls that have not had many incarnations. They were just present in Adam. They never fell into the Klipot once they were put into Adam. They left and elevated to higher levels of Kedusha. They didn't participate in the sin. And from time to time, they come into this world to teach, to assist, to help mankind grow. But what does that really mean? And it's similar to the idea that I've expressed recently to you about male and female soulmates. That the female, if she came into this world totally cleansed of her previous incarnations, there would be no affinity between male and female. There'd be no way for them to get together because the female being so pure would look down on the male being so filthy that she would not pay attention to him. She would not allow any interaction with him. And the male would look at her and say, there's nothing there as well, because he could not even conceive of the purity of the soul. This same thing applies to new souls who are the really old souls, meaning they were part of Adam, who left before the sin. Now they're coming into this world as a child for one of their early incarnations. And they're so pure relative to the others who've had many incarnations. And in those many incarnations, they've done the various sins that have veiled and brought klipot to veil their light. Whereas these souls who left don't have that life experience where they veiled themselves. What we are told is that the gestation period is not 9 months for these souls, but it can be up to 12 months. Just as it can take 12 months to cleanse the soul in Gehinom. Hashem creates this against that. He creates the same aspect in different ways, but it's really utilizing the same levels of consciousness for good and for evil. And I hope that last statement didn't confuse what I had been explaining. Sometimes it does. So, I'm continuing to read. They are level one. Now, some remained with Adam, but the klipot have no effect over them. These are level two. Now, what does that imply from what I've said? It's really not clear, but we need to understand that somehow the soul parts in Adam, they knew that there was no sin, or they knew there was going to be a sin, but they chose to remain united with the rest of humanity. And so, therefore, they're not as high as the souls who left. They have some aspects of veiling, some aspects of dirt, of physicality, but nowhere near the extent of that tikkun of physicality associated with those soul parts that participated in the sin. Now, some remained and fell within the klipot. Male souls into male klipot, and female souls into female klipot. And these are level three. This is generally most people. Level two divides into two parts. The first part being the souls that remained within Adam for the sake of his own body, and the second part being those that remained with him, but which were inherited by his sons Cain and Abel when they were born. This is hard to understand. Initially, Adam is created. He includes all the souls that will ever be in this world. He initiates the sin. There were soul parts that stayed in the body, but ultimately, they had to fall a little bit into the next generation, which was Cain and Abel. By falling into that next generation, they were lower than those that remained in Adam. But according to the Ari's teachings, the three males and the four females are really on one level. The four females are the two soulmates of Abel, the two and the one soulmate of Cain, and Chava. Those are the four females. We will now briefly explain the three levels after a short introduction.
I'd like to ask another question.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm wondering about this division of the Klipot. Can that same statement be made with other souls? Is there always, are the male souls and the female souls separated into two different Klipot pots, I'm going to say, for lack of a better word? In other words, I've always thought of the Klipot as one, almost like a pit. And souls fall into that Klipot. But is the Klipot divided into a male section and a female section? Or is it just this level, souls from Adam, that had to fall into a male Klipot and a female Klipot?
Are you going to love this answer, Anna?
Maybe I haven't come down from my spiritual Shavuot night with the hurricane.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
But in actuality, the Talmud teaches that there are seven different sexes, S-E-X, apostrophe S. Since there are seven different sexes, there are seven different pots of Klipot. But for the most part, we really don't need to get into the details of that and accept it. So the metaphor that you're using, that there's one pot of Klipot, works for the most part. But there is... When we think of heaven, there is a separate heaven for females and a separate heaven for males. There's a separate hell for females and a separate hell for males. But in reality, there are seven different pots at each of the seven different levels in both of us. Now, is that clear or is it muddy?
Well, it's probably not going to stick, but I'll remember it when you bring it up again another time, so we can go on.
Okay.
I mean, we've got the different levels of heaven as well, you know, so there's a lot there.
Yes, we have the different levels of heaven. We have the different levels of hell. And within each of those levels, we always have splits between male and female.
Right.
And within each of those, we have splits between the seven sexes that the Talmud's describing. But for the most part, just the split between male and female is sufficient to understand the metaphors and how to utilize them.
Okay.
The four worlds of Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya are alternately called Abba, Ima, Zerantin, and Nukva. There are no Klipot on the level of Abba, which is Chachma. The first three Sefirot of Ima, and the levels of Keter within Zerantin and the Nukva, with respect to the rest of the levels, the Klipot do latch on when people sin. I would suggest that you chart this in order to understand it. But it's always good to remember these terms, Abba, Ima, Zerampin, and Nukva. These are partsufim. They're partsufs, meaning faces, meaning a structure of 10 sephirot each. So in the world of Atzilut, you have the 10 sephirot, which means you have 10 worlds. Which is, and here it's, we're being told that a world is a partsuf. But that the Klipot is not able to access the level of Abba, the level of Atzilut.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that mean? How do we understand that? We don't, because we're dealing with it from physical levels. And the tool that we use to absorb that, to try and understand it, is built upon logic. And logic is a tool of Satan. So the world of Atzilut is above the world of logic. And it gets very confusing at that point. But I will continue to read unless there's a question about this paragraph. The underlying point here is that Klipot are as if the antithesis of divinity. Hashem gives good, life, light, Klipot take and or hide them. In a realm of complete godliness, Klipot automatically have no place. And this explains why they cannot exist in Abba, which is Chachma, which is Atzilut. The upper triad of Ima and the Keters of Zerampin and the Nukva, although much lower than Abba, do manifest enough divinity to negate the Klipot from breeding. They die, but not in Chachma. This is a verse from Ecclesiastes. In order to nix the hold of Klipot from the self, one must draw Chachma force. It is the power of nullification, of self-sacrifice. The more that Chachma is drawn, the more the Klipot, the ego, is eradicated from the self. A note about Atzilut and Klipot. Even though there is some concept of Klipot relative to Atzilut, in Etz HaChaim, in the gate of Atzilut Bria Yetzirah Anasia, it means that they stand opposite Atzilut and manifest a relative degree of intensity in the Sephirotic array of the Sitra Achra. To fulfill the verse, God made the Sitra Achra opposite the other holiness. My commentary. This is explaining a purpose to Torah study as it relates to correcting the worlds by drawing Chachma down to its appropriate levels. And that is the end of the section. And that's as clear as mud, of course.
Well, it's just another level of thinking about Adam. and so forth.
It brings a lot of different perceptions, and it causes us to change the way we think metaphorically, the way we visualize or perceive the spiritual world that we've created through the study of Kabbalah. And this is something that will continually happen to us as we learn more, as we meditate, as we experience these higher levels within our own personal meditations. Man's Supernal Glow, Chapter 29, Section 4. All levels to which the Klipot do not latch on to are called Zihara Ila'a, the Adam HaRishon, the supernal glow of Adam the first man. Except for the Nefesh part of each level. This includes the levels of Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, and Ruach of the world of Atzilut, which is Abba, the Abba and Ima of Bria, which is Ima, the 20 Ketarim in the Zeron Pin and Nukva of Bria, the 8 Ketarim in Abba, Ima, and Zeron Pin and Nukva of Yetzirah, and the Abba, Ima, Zeron Pin, and Nukva of Astia, altogether 10 Partsufim. And Rabbi Auerbach in the translator is commenting, there is an aspect of Abba unto itself that shines to Atzilut, and there is an aspect of Abba as coupled with Ima that shines to Bria. This is taught in the Etz Chaim. This is 10 Ketarim of Zeron Pin and 10 Ketarim of Nukva. Two Keter aspects for each of these four Partsufim. Keter as well as Chachma, which is sometimes included in the Keter aspect.
Is Ketarim the plural of Keter? Excuse me. I should have told you I wanted to ask a question. Is Ketarim plural of Keter?
Yes.
I wonder why they didn't spell it with an E. K-E-T-E-R-I-M. The T-A-R threw me. I thought, oh, I don't know that word. It's not your note, so it's not
a typo on
your
note. I can actually answer it because it's a comparison. Rabbi Auerbach was hired in the middle of the translation by Rabbi Teicher, I think his name was, the first translator that we worked on before. Then there was a break in the translation. There was a period of about 6 months where nothing else came out of the website or was not posted to the website. And that, then Rabbi Auerbach was hired. Initially, they tried to have Rabbi Sutton hired to do the translation. And he was busy dealing with some issues with the books and writings of, I'm trying to remember the name, it'll come to me, but it's the guy who wrote Kabbalah and Meditation.
Ari Kaplan?
Yes, Kaplan. So he was dealing with the translations of the publications of the writings of Kaplan. So he didn't have time to do it. So they hired Rabbi Auerbach. And I would suggest that Rabbi Auerbach spells Keter is K-E-T-A-R, and that's why it's spelled Ketarim. Whereas Rabbi Kaiser was spelling it K-E-T-E-R. But Rabbi Kaiser came down ill, but a lot of his translations Rabbi Sutton totally disagrees with. And so I've never really discussed this before, but there's a book by Winston Pinchas Winston, a translation that is more in line with what Rabbi Sutton does. And I look at Rabbi Sutton as really the foremost Hebrew translator, because he really goes into depth and truly contemplates his translations to know what is the appropriate inner essence of the Hebrew words. Continuing to read, a little commemoration of the perfect state is left in each world. We see that the concept of Zehara Ila'a relates to the utopian state that was predominant before the original sin. It was negated by the sin, so those special precious lights flew away. The rectification process prepares the world to receive them again. A little commemoration of the perfect state is left in each world to enthuse and give something to aspire to. Deep inside, everyone has some hidden point of the utopian Zihara Ila. It is accessed through meditation. Understanding where it exists in the worlds helps activate it in the corresponding aspects of the self. For each person contains all of the worlds in microcosm. Let us, all of creation, make man, is a verse from Genesis. Each part of existence made a donation, according to the Zohar. And this is one explanation and understanding of the meanings of the above paragraphs. Now, each partsuf contains 10 sephirot, and each sephirah itself has 10, making 100 ketarim of 10 partsufim. In turn, each keter has 10 sephirot, and 4 upper levels of Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, and Ruach. All of this is called Zihara Ila'a, and it is a part of that which was completely removed from Adam and ascended to its holy place. And it is your sins that separate between you and your Lord, a prophecy by Hagiga. Going against the divine will prevents the soul from connecting to Hashem and his effulgence, his goodness. The mitzvot of Hashem are upright, rejoicing the heart, a verse from Psalms. They restore the soul to the perfect state of being. And this is why some minute expression of the dazzling light of the Zihara Ilah was visible on certain tzaddikim, whose countenance lights up a dark room. This does not necessarily mean that they are greater than other tzaddikim who do not manifest it. Rather, based on the soul root and the tikkun of each tzaddik, certain things are given to expression and certainty. There are 2 levels of Zihara. The first is Zihara Ila'a of Atzilut, composed of Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, and Ruach of the world of Atzilut. The second level is Zihara Ila'a of Bria Yetzirah Nasiyah, which incorporates the entire two parts and theme of Abba and Ima. That is the Chaya and Neshama of the world of Briah and Arichan Pin, or the Yechida of Briah, the four levels of Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, and Ruach of each Keter, from the 100 Ketarim of the 10 parts of Fim, from the Zeran Pin and Nukva of Briah through the Nukva of Asiya. All of these are called Zihara Ila'a, of the three worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiya, as mentioned. These two types of Zihara Ila'a were completely removed from Adam when he sinned and are called level one. Level two is also considered to be Zihara Ila'a, to which the Klipot do not latch on. But since it is a lesser level, it is not removed from its place completely and remained with Adam, and is the Nefesh of the world of Atzilut. This is one level of Atzilut. The second level is the Nefesh of the 100 Ketarim in the three worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Both stayed with Adam and are called level two. Level three is the rest of the Sephirot of the 10 parts of Ufim. Other than the 100 Ketarim, they all fell off him and down to the place of the Klipot. I heard from my teacher that level two is divided into two sections, and that the upper section is those souls that stayed with Adam in his body, and that the second lesser section is the souls that Cain and Abel inherited upon birth. But I'm not sure if this only applies to this level, and so on. Other levels, if the second section is higher than the first. I am also in doubt as to which souls remained with Adam and which were given to Cain and Abel, and the order of how this second level was divided. Cain and Abel contain two levels, one being their actual souls themselves from the three worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiya only, like the rest of people who are not from level two. The other is the second section of level two, which Adam, their father, bestowed upon them. It includes parts from all four worlds, from the bottom of Asiya until the beginning of the Nefesh of Atzilut. It is a very elevated soul. Cain and Abel took the Nefesh of Atzilut. We also wrote that the two sections of level two are equal, with the exception of the first level only, which we mentioned there. We also wrote that Cain and Abel took the Nefesh of Atzilut, and it seemed that the second section of level two in Cain and Abel is higher than the rest of the souls that remained in Adam for his own sake. We also wrote that the Nefesh of Atzilut did not actually remain in Adam, and that it was not completely removed either. Rather, it hovered above the head of Adam until Cain and Abel were born, at which time they took it, as well as the other sections of the three worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiya. We also wrote that after Adam sinned, Hanoch took the Zihara of Arik, Adam the Zihara of Abba, Eve of Ima, Abel of Zeranpin, and King of the Nukva. I do not know if all of these are considered to be sections of Atzilut or of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiya, and further investigation is required. I also did not hear from my teacher who took the first three, Arichan Pin, Abba, and Ima of Briah, whether it was Adam or Cain or Abel, or his sons. And this too needs further investigation. And in another place, I wrote that Moses, who was the Gilgul of Abel, took them. I also wrote that the dot of Zerampin is made up of the two joints of the two arms of Arikampin, which are joined at the two shoulders of Arikampin, which are called inheritance, since Abba and Ima bestowed them to their children, Zerampin and Nukva. The rest of the four joints of the two arms remained for them, and they are called Akshtanta da Abba Ba'ima, the inheritance of Abba and Ima. Kabbalah views the main body as being the torso. The arms implement the thoughts in the brain and allow the torso to express. They are so as an inheritance set which children use to implement the will and aspirations of their parents. Cain and Abel came out of this dot of Zerampin, for since Adam and Eve, who are called Abba and Ima, took the level of four joints for themselves, from which Chachma and Bina were made twice for the two of them, and the two joints that they bestowed to their children are called the dot of Zerampin. The rest of the Mohin of Adam left for himself. It seems this way from another explanation. The rest of the Mohin Adam left for himself. He only bestowed the dot to his sons, Cain and Abel. Thus we can say that he gave every portion of the dot to Cain and Abel, from the dot of the Nefesh of Atzilut until the dot of Nukva of Asiyah, leaving for himself the rest of the sections of the brains, the Mohin of Chachma and Bina, within him, which extend through all 10 sephirot of his body. Even Chesed and Giborah of Dat that he bestowed to Cain and Abel also spread out through the entire body of Zerampin to the 10 sephirot within him. This is clear, and I am adding as much. From this you can understand what was lacking from the souls of Cain and Abel compared to those souls that remained in Adam for himself. For the main impact of the Klipot is to the dot, to the knowledge in the secret of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Cain and Abel were entrusted with the job of fixing their parents' mistake. God is a fusion of Chasadim and Givurot. They each draw to a different side, creating the decision dilemma. Choice happens and comes from Dot. It is the pressure place that needs fixing from the original sin, which accordingly happened from the tree of Dot. Cain and Abel were entrusted with the job of fixing their parents' mistake. They so had to come from Dot. Therefore it says, and Cain, Yada, knew his wife. Rabbi Auerbach's commentary, a construct of Dot. Before he stated that Cain and his wife embody Abba and Ima, Abel and his wife embody Zerampin and Nukva, as above. This is not a contradiction to here, where Abel is reported to having the higher level of Zerah Elah. Cain has higher potential, but Abel starts with higher manifestation. However, on their levels themselves, the souls that come from Dot give off more light than the souls that come from the two Mohin of Chachma and Bina, which have many layers of clothing and veils. This is known from the levels of Nadav and Abihu, which were above Eleazar and Itamar, as written elsewhere. There we explained well all the doubts regarding Cain and Abel, and how Cain and all his male sparks came out from the Gibberoth of the crown of Nupha. And look well over there. A small introduction regarding the secret of Yibum, the Levirate marriage. This is what he said. Now, by Auerbach's commentary, if a man dies without having had children, his brother must marry his wife in order that she bear children on his behalf. When a man must reincarnate and dies, and after that a son is born to him, since his wife was expecting when he died, the man himself reincarnates into the body of the son. This is the secret of Yibum. This is the secret of Abaya the Amora, who was born after his father died. His father reincarnated into his son's body, which is why he is called Abaya, meaning his father. Since his father reincarnated into him, I don't think this came from my teacher, but rather from Rab Elazar Halevi. This is the secret of why Rab Yaba Saba, the previous Gilgul of Abaya, revealed the mysteries of Yibum in the Zohar. And so Abaya expressed joy over not having seen his father, being so exempt from the stringencies of honoring him. This would seem strange, for someone of his stature would seem to want to be able to do the mitzvah. Rather, he was saying that the mitzvah had no place by him, since he was his father himself. The simple explanation remains, teaching how careful one has to be in honoring parents. A small introduction. There are souls that are not from the root of the holiness of Shabbat itself, but are included in the Tosafet HaShabbat, additions to the Shabbat. They only contain that level and are not able to ascend higher than it, since it is the source of their root. Rabbi Auerbach comments, one can add to the strict time of Shabbat by receiving it early and keeping it late. The rabbis learn out that it is possible to receive the sanctity of the Shabbat before sundown when it officially comes to all, and yet after nightfall the next day when it officially leaves. There is a special root of Shabbat holiness. Additional Shabbat is drawn from a lesser place. Rabbi Auerbach comments, nonetheless, there is a special kind of revelation that happens specifically during Tosafet Shabbat. The upper third of Tiferet of Zeranpin peaks out in revelation. My commentary. I did not add a commentary to this section, since it takes a good working vocabulary of the language of Kabbalah and the language of branches. It is time that this starts to become part of your spiritual growth. If you have questions, please feel free to ask them. And that is the end of this section. And I know everything is absolutely clear. He says with an ironic voice.
You know how we did one section three times? I was thinking this would probably need three times too.
I think even more than that. And if you want, we can do that. You'll let me know if you want to do that next week. I'll be prepared to go forward with class 29 or stay here with class 28E.
You know, in one of our other Tikkuni Zohar, remember it was in the advanced reincarnation. A couple of weeks ago, when we had a reference to the Tikkunim Zohar, I think it was section 69, and I figured I was going to try to look it up. Well, when, as you read those last few paragraphs, it reminded me. When I read it, it had to do with the unity of the extra soul and the Shekinah and other things on Shabbat. And I thought of that when, as you were reading these last few paragraphs, so maybe we'll be getting it also again in Tikkuni Zohar.
Right. Well, I can tell you that I don't think we're going to get to Tikkuni 69 until probably about 2 to 3 years from now.
Well, we're expecting to stay around that long, so.
Well, you know, as you keep telling me, at least 300 more years, and you have to stick around to prove me right.
All right.
So I'm glad that you're all well and safe. I didn't expect anything less, but there's always, we always hope. And
but they say we're still not out of danger, that it's the condition of the Gulf, not of the hurricane itself. It's the waters in the Gulf. But it seems to be, yeah, we still have warnings to, well, right now, I just got a message. It says flash flood warning this area till 7:30 p.m. Central. And they are starting summer school back Monday. So all of those things are good. My son-in-law, who's still on practically the Gulf of Mexico line, called this morning and said sometimes the power goes out, but the backup kicks on. And they've not really had any problems. And even New Orleans, the news has been good. And my sister-in-law in Baton Rouge, there was heavy rain there this morning and a tornado very near. But they were in a place where there was shelter. So Hashem has been very, very gracious to us. Again, to that. Amen.
Any other comments or questions? If not, you have a good week.
What does Malka think? Does she think we ought to do it again, or do you want to just keep going? Is she still on?
Not answering, so she may be muted.
Yes, I'm still here. Yeah, I would love to do it again. I'm going to listen to it again and chart it, like you said, to kind of follow it a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm more understanding if I can chart it.
Yeah, if you have time to chart it, it'll be helpful. And then we can decide. Actually, the beginning of the class next week, as I said, I'll be prepared to go forward or to stay in this one. So it'll be up to you all.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You all have a good evening.
Hey.
Hey. Shalom.
Shalom.